Ignore them. What Ignore them.
All right, let's do it.
Do you take requests?
Do you have one?
Yeah.
What is it?
Please don't sing.
Okay, you're going to sing.
Please all don't right. do this.
When the people that you know don't... Larry, come on. When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. Nice. That's lovely. Welcome, everybody. This is such an important day.
What?
First time.
Oh.
First time we've had all four friends together. All right, put our rings in the middle and see if they explode. Wonder yes. Twin Powers.
Activate. Where's the beer?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm out. Nope. See you guys later.
Wow.
We got the liquor store down the liquor store.
I can run.
It
would be like 15 minutes. You guys want to go ahead?
What did you bring was my next question. I went to the Republic of Coffee Republic of Pie.
We could smoke a joint.
Nobody said no so far.
That's a way to go.
So, what a big day to get the four of us together. And let me just line up the stars. The four of us are together here for the first time for this podcast. It's been permutations of one-on-one, three. We've had a couple of permutations of three. And then now, finally, all four of us. And I'm excited to see what that brings. Also, I've locked the children in the house.
He's not kidding. We saw him do it.
We can see them from here.
Kind of.
Last check, they were playing Thomas the Train. Uh-huh. So Lara's going to be home to take care of them in 30 seconds.
Probably.
I hope.
Maybe.
Also, next door, they started this morning at 7 a.m. with a jackhammer.
Right.
That you can hear clearly through here.
Which will effectively cover the screams of your children in dire need.
We'll call it a wash.
So, yeah.
We'll call it a wash. We'll call it even. I purposefully didn't set an agenda for today because I didn't know where things were going. I'll tell you what's on my agenda for today. And one way the podcast can go, we just had Josh suggested a few minutes ago, the workbench that I didn't expect for another 10 days for the laundry room, for my little work area, arrived this morning. It's about 120 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lots of moving parts.
Yeah.
Hence the invitation of all three of us to come help him.
Interesting.
Help him move it.
We could put that together.
What a coincidence that it came today.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like a half hour before you guys showed up.
Well, okay,
that's
so,
one way to go.
So what you're saying is... Josh and Sam and I can sit here and have a discussion while you put the bench together, and we'll comment on your ineptitude.
And we will paint the scene.
It's
going to be a 5-hour podcast. Right. Are you done yet, Andy?
Where's the Allen wrench?
I withdraw the suggestion.
All right.
Are you guys handy? Okay.
Yeah. I'm available.
You have power tools, right, Josh?
Yeah, I have a limited amount of power tools.
What?
Your standard drill and circular saw.
Okay. So you have a drill. Now, is it a cordless drill or is it a wired drill?
A wired drill.
A wired drill. And which, more power in the wired drill. Some jobs just call for plugging in. And you have the circular saw. Is it a skill saw?
Yep.
Or is it a,
yeah? Skill saw, yeah. I had to build a fence one time because I lived in this like triplex. And these people, these hillbillies moved in upstairs, okay? They were like meth heads or something. And they had these two big, Rottweilers. And one of them was like 105 years old and couldn't move or anything. And the other one was just bouncing around all the time. Now imagine, we had a yard that was like half the size of this backyard here. And I would be sitting on my side of the house. That was back when I would smoke. So I'd go outside to have a cigarette. This is way a little before Owen. And I'd just be sitting there, and all of a sudden, this giant Rottweiler would come flying around the corner. And it was friendly, but I'd be sitting out there in like a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, and it would just scare the shit out of me, come flying around the corner and jump on my lap. Well, I couldn't deal with that anymore, so I built like this fence that separated my back door from the entire yard so their dog would, so they couldn't get near my place anymore.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I had to go buy a saw to do that.
You had a post hole digger and you.
No, I bought four cinder blocks. Then I took L brackets. I went and bought the what do you call it? The pickets. Uh-huh. I bought pickets and I measured them out, lined them up, boarded them across, then took the L brackets and went and got a concrete drill bit, drilled holes into the cinder blocks, then put anchors in them, then put the screwed the L brackets into there, then screwed the L brackets into the fence. So essentially, I had a fence that wasn't attached to the property because I knew my landlord wouldn't permit me to drill into anything. So this was my way of saying, screw you, I'm building it.
Nice.
And you can't tell me not to.
I fantasize about being handy. I aspire to be handy, but if I have a problem and I start working on it, I can't stop. I can't stop. Even if I know that I'm going down a bad path and I'm probably going to ruin the thing, it's like...
it's a matter of pride?
Well, it's almost an obsession, and you think, okay, I'm going to fix this. It's all like when you're a teenager and you got a zit and you got to get at it, and you finally decide, I'm going to destroy my face to get at this thing. That's a little bit... I remember I was living in Seattle and in this... apartment complex, and it was actually where I met my wife. This sort of two-story apartments on Lake Washington, and there were probably 20 buildings. So my little building had maybe 10 apartments in it, and I had a pasta maker, and the pasta maker broke. So I decided I'm going to fix this, but I can't put a flashlight back together. So I'm thinking there has to be a logical approach to this where I can figure out where each wire went. So I color coded everything, and I took a little piece of tape, orange tape, put it on this wire, and a little orange tape on the connector, and red tape, and I had multicolors, or maybe I wrote on it. I don't remember how I did it.
Well, that's smart. Leave it some breadcrumbs.
Yeah. And then one of them fell off. And I knew the orange thing was there. It was either there or there that the orange thing came off. And then another one fell off. And then I knew that the red was either, okay, it's one of two choices, and I can try both. Anyway, so I reassembled this pasta maker, plugged it in the wall, and all the lights in my apartment go out. So I thought, well, I didn't burn anything out. I just probably popped a breaker. Now it's the evening. And so I go out into the hallway, and I plug it in there. And then all the lights in the whole building go out. And now, so I call Maggie, who is our apartment manager, and I said, Maggie, the lights somehow went out. It went out in our apartment. Of course, I wasn't going to mention that I had rebuilt this pasta maker. So it was just pitch black. It had gotten dark. And now I've gone back in my apartment. I can hear my neighbors coming out in the hallway, convening out in the hallway, like, what happened? So it's pitch black. So I got out in the hallway, and I said, hey, guys. I mean, I knew my neighbors. I said, hey, I screwed up. I told Maggie that I don't know what happened, but what happened was I had this pasta maker. All of a sudden, what felt like six inches from my face, a flashlight comes on under a guy's chin, and it's the superintendent. He goes, well, you really screwed it up. So I ran back into my apartment, felt my way through my apartment, climbed out the window, and left. So that was my experience with the pasta maker.
Hey, Josh, quickly, before we continue, can you look out and tell me if there's a car in the driveway?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
When you care enough about your child's well-being, you have Josh do it. Sam's story reminds me of a childhood story of mine, which tells you how I inherited handiness from my own father, because there was a period in the childhood house that most of the three siblings grew up in for the most amount of time. We discovered quite by accident that if you were in the kitchen and you like opened the oven door and you just happen to reach over and try to open the refrigerator, that you would have an electrical current go through your body. And we discovered this because all of us had done it at some point. And it was like, oh, my God, what was that? Yep. And then we go, okay, wow, that's okay. But then, like, 6 months later, some, you know, my mom would be cooking something. She said, oh, I need to get some. And she was like, ah! And we told, and it's like, you know, I was younger, so my initial thought, because I had heard stories, you know, I was one of those kids, I was always reading about the most gruesome stories. You know, you read those books where it's like, you know, the murder stuff and the, you know, I was into gangsters and serial killers. I was fascinated by that stuff. So for me, it was like, one of us is going to be electrocuted. And while that's going to be really cool to watch, I hope it's not me. So we told, you know, our father is like, I have a feeling that, you know, I didn't understand the concept of it, but something needed to be grounded, apparently. Yeah. And I was like, if you touch the oven and if you touch the refrigerator, like, you have an electric shock, and it's like one of us could be electrocuted. And my dad's handy way of dealing with that was, yeah, don't touch them at the same time anymore.
Well, that was nice. The same situation at my grandparents' place, and what we would do is stand there and touch the oven and wait till somebody got into the fridge and then just reach over and touch them. And they would have no idea what the hell was going on, because they're like, I didn't touch the oven. And they're like, oh.
So I truly believe that you are the product of your own environment. So since I was taught absolutely nothing to do with electronics or, you know, any sort of handy, I mean, much like my father, probably the
self-taught.
The most elaborate contraption I was ever able to put together would be the barbecue you got from the hardware store, right, with the instructions laid out. And that was, and to this day, and my wife and I both have a detente on this, because when she says, I called a handyman to put the blinds up, I'm like, good call. That was a good call. Because even I just don't have that knack for it. I have some of my biggest victories as a manly husband have been that I was able to install a set of blinds that basically was just two brackets on either end without having to drill 9 holes to get it even and essentially destroy the windowsill.
Right.
And invariably, if I have to, like, we buy a stationary bike, it shows up kind of like your workbench. It's in parts. It's like, oh, okay, I can do this. And I get it there, and it's all put together, and one thing I put on backwards. And so it's literally take everything apart to fix that one thing. There is no way I will do it right the first time. So I just have to, you know, you kind of look at the instructions. Sometimes it says should take no longer than an hour. And I go, okay, double that, and we got it. And that's me. So I hear you, Andy, talk about stuff you've done around the house, and you just start blabbering about. I hear the words drywall or whatever, even L brackets a second ago from Josh made me sleepy. It's like, oh, okay. That's a bracket shaped like an L, right? Okay, I think I can follow that.
I started doing those things out of thrift.
Yeah.
I think. My dad was pretty handy. He could swing a hammer and, you know, wasn't afraid to you know, pour a little bit of concrete, you know, for this and that. I remember when I was like five or six, he decided he wanted a workshop. And we had a modest, you know, plot in a residential neighborhood in Greenwood, Indiana. And in the back of the house, in the backyard, he decided to take up like a quarter of the backyard building this little workshop. It was like, you know, I don't know, size of this room. And it was just like a little garage, a little A-framed, you know, gabled thing that he got a permit for. And my dad was always somebody to go buy the book on this stuff, because he didn't want anybody to come and mess with him later. He didn't want the neighbors to say, I don't like that, it's too tall, or whatever. So he made sure that it was, you know, the far enough away from the fence line, so there was an easement there. Everything was exactly to code. Called in, you know, a dump truck to mix the cement for it and, you know, pour the footers. And I remember, like, little details. I was 5 years old, but I remember little details, like him putting in the lag bolts to anchor the frame to it. And I remember after the truck left, it came up on our grass, you know, past the driveway there, and I remember there was an indentation about 4 inches of these heavy, you know, this heavy truck that came in and just mashed down the soil. I mean, like, little details about it. But he wasn't afraid to do anything. He wasn't afraid to just jump in, and, you know, he had that, was it Will Rogers or Mark Twain who said, you know, first make sure you're right, then go ahead. He got ahead of confidence, ahead of steam, and just did shit. And in this this place, he poured the concrete and then framed it up, and it was big enough for him to store all of his wood up in the rafters and our fishing poles and stuff. And he built a workbench and put a desk in there. So it was like a side that was like paneled, where he had a little desk and he could sit down and do work and write. He worked for the post office as a supervisor, so he had very little homework to do, but still had this place where he could go and do whatever. And then on the other side, there was this workshop with a little potbelly stove, this iron stove, and he'd have all of his, you know, tools on pegboards around the room and everything. And when the snow was flying, it was a great place to go, look out the window, look at birds and, you know, rabbits and stuff, you know, coming through the yard, and we're in there in the warm listening to, you know, Johnny Cash on WFMS in Indianapolis and putting together this, that, or the other thing, or counting screws, or, you know, whatever we were doing. And from him, I got that, I know how to work a chisel. I know how to, you know, I know how to find the right tool for the right job, and also how to, what do they call that? There's a term for it where you need a chisel, but instead you take a big flathead screwdriver instead. You know, you improvise the tool that you need to do whatever. That kind of thing as well, because we didn't always have the wherewithal to, hey, you know, we need a Langstrom 7.5-inch gangly wrench. We don't have, you know, $300 for that, so let's just do this instead. So you like the Steve Martin reference? And...
So, is that like using a dime because I can't find my flathead screwdriver?
Exactly. Precisely.
The one we have in the house?
So when my dad died 5 years ago, that was one of the things. It was enjoyable and painful at the same time to go out to his, you know, workbench, or his workshop, and, you know, my brother and I, you know, divvying up tools, because that's in Indianapolis. I live in Los Angeles. He'd just throw it in the back of his truck and drive, you know, across the border to Illinois, and he's home. I'm going to box all this stuff up, wrap it up, haul these huge boxes down to the post office. Oh, my God.
Full of metal.
Oh, my God.
Metal
tools. What was the weight?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because I got those priority boxes.
Oh, right. The ones where you can just, if it fits, it ships.
Yeah.
It is shipped like a lead block.
Oh, my God. I had to use a hand truck to carry these boxes in. They were just full of these, you know, old woodworking tools and stuff, just all iron and steel and all of this stuff. It was crazy. I shipped a lot of that stuff.
There's home. A flat rate?
It's a flat rate.
Yeah. They just get an empty box, and whatever you can fit inside fits, that box. Yeah.
The biggest one is like $28 or something, and if you can fit it in there, they'll ship it. Yeah. And like, if you put, you know, 400 pounds of lead in there, they have to ship it.
I'd like to send my gold bars back home, please. Right. Would you like to insure these? For $8 million.
Run a test on that. Just get the biggest box for $28 and see if we can fill it with like 400 pounds of stuff.
Let's pour concrete into it.
And then
there's our project.
We'll ship it to Larry's house. We'll go to your place. And we'll all listen to see if we can hear the postman's hernia pop. I like doing this. I like putting things together. Like, I mean, there's not much in here that I've put together.
Well,
I could dig and find like some things I've carved, you know, whittled.
Well, even just you, when you were talking about that place in, was it in Indianapolis, in the Moose Lodge episode, right? Where you got stay in that room and the stuff you did to it. And it's like, you were just listing off all these, your initiative was, I'm going to make this a little more livable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would have never thought that. I would have put... a bad rug down and hung a bed sheet over the window.
Sometimes when you like you see something that you can do, all of a sudden it kind of becomes a personal challenge.
Yeah,
like and you're like, I can do this, and then even if you don't do it right, you learn how to do it right. So now next time something goes wrong, like I just took apart my dishwasher to replace the exhaust hose,
right,
and it took me forever, but I figured out how to do it, and it only cost me like $10 to do.
Right. Isn't that
but
great?
Now that I know how all that works, if there's another problem associated with that, I already know, well, this is how this works. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is affecting this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I can do that at a radio station. I don't have that effect at home, but I'm not an engineer, and I would never pretend to be. But if I watch, and we all know if we've dealt with engineers or IT guys, they're a special breed. and they tend to be guys who don't like to be asked to do their job for some reason, because they've usually always got...
That's Larry Morgan saying this.
Yeah, well, that's not right. So if there's a problem like in a studio and they have to kind of pull the back of the... I mean, there's so much electronics going on in a typical
broadcast. And it's a rat's nest of wires.
Yeah, and it's years and years and years of stuff that's built up as they they tend to not take anything out. They just add things.
So all the wires of the old stuff are still in there, and you don't even know what
there's
that
always
is.
Workarounds, and so they've got... So anytime that ever happens, especially if something's kind of chronic and it's just something that's going to happen, you know, nothing's going to run smoothly when those things are on 24 hours a day. You're going to have stuff need to be, you know, recycled or rebooted or whatever. And there's a particular problem in one of the studios where the computer just kind of freezes up and the keyboard and the mouse don't work and it's not connecting to the digital systems, whatever. So a couple of different times I had to ask the engineer to come in, or I had to have them, you know, do it remotely because it happened after hours when they're long gone. So those guys I will watch, and I am pretty good at mimicking moves. It's kind of like directions to your house. After I drove here the first time, I have not needed to look it up. I just know I'm not doing one of those men have an innate sense of direction thing, even though we do. but I'm pretty good at that. So it's sense memory for me, or muscle memory.
Right.
So every time I go in, so at 7 o'clock, engineers are long gone, and in a studio when something just is not working, I am to the point where I can go, okay, let me take the back off. And people are always going, you're not supposed to be in there. And I go, flippity, flippity, pull this out, restart this, plug that back in there, boom, and it's fixed. I have no idea what I've done or why I did it, but I saw them do it, and I'm able to recreate that.
Can you help me get the new logo on iTunes?
I probably can. I think I actually have done that. Right. I've just been waiting to see if you would ever accomplish it.
I keep trying to recycle it, and it won't take.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Let me work on that for you.
But how many tools do you own, Sam?
I have such a random, eclectic, collection of tools, old, really old and new. I probably have 40, 50 tools, and I still can't find a Phillips screwdriver when I need it, or. Right. You know, stuff tends to get walked around our house.
Power tools. And what power
relocated.
Tools?
Relocated. Let's see. I've got maybe 4 hand drills, but I don't know if one works. You know, I can't find the thing to tighten or to loosen or take the chuck key. I've got...
Chuck keys in love.
Yeah, good.
I regret that before I said that.
We all do.
I've got one of those trimmers, you know, hedge trimmer.
I was going to say, are you on medication for that? We haven't noticed. I mean, it's not.
T-R-E-M-O-R.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.
T-R-I-M-O-R.
Oh.
Fun with homophones.
I'm trying to think of what other power tools. I mean, drills, electric hedge trimmer, not a lot of other power tools, but a lot of things like, you know, socket wrenches and pliers and all that stuff.
Here's the thing with lawn tools and me. I grew up, you know, I was the one who mowed the grass.
Oh, yeah.
In my family's house, when I got old enough, I was 6 years younger than the rest of my brothers and sisters, so they moved on, and I'm the one there doing it, right?
It is the fatherly tradition to offload that job as soon as a kid is old enough to not cut their foot off.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So that is something that was ingrained in me. This is pretty low technology work. I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm happy to do it. Come out here, and I live in apartments for the first, you know, all but the last 3.5 years of living out here. This is our first home, my first home with a yard. And so I went out right when we moved in here and went to Sears over here in Laurel Plaza and bought a lawnmower. Lawnmower and a little weed whacker. And I bring that home and I cut the grass. And then the next week, I cut the grass. And then about 2 weeks after that, Laura starts nagging me for when I'm going to cut the grass again. And that tends to be the new pattern. And she keeps saying, can we just hire somebody to do it? You're busy. Your time is worth something. You could be spending time with your son doing other things. Do you really want to do that every single week? And I, being thrifty, say, why would I pay somebody else to do something that I can easily do? Yes, but you're not doing it. And again, let me reiterate, your time is valuable. Why don't you just pay someone to do it? So we start paying someone to do it. And it's a mow, blow, and go operation where emphasis on the go.
Right.
And they did kind of blow. For example, there was a we try to recycle as much as we can. There's a green wine bottle that's on the back porch that Laura meant to take out to the recycling but was in a hurry, had to leave. So she just sets it on the back porch. It goes, I guess the wind knocks it off, and it's on our back patio here. They come and blow the shards of glass down the driveway with the rest of the leaves. And she drives in with two children and gets out of the car and realizes she's just driven over big shards of green glass. That was their last day on the job.
Yeah.
And then we found a guy who's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. Comes in, he's got ideas. Like, you know, we had you know the palm tree out front? There was like a whole bunch of vegetation around there, some dracaenas and a pomegranate bush and a whole bunch of lilies and just all a bunch of crazy shit. And he looks at it, he's like, you like that? And we're like, no, not really. He's like, okay, I'll get rid of it. And took it all out, and it planted grass around there, and it just looks nicer and cleaner and neater. And anything that comes up, like the, sprinklers in the backyard are jacked. Can you do anything about them? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, paid him extra to do that job, but he can fix anything and will, you know, take special. So I've come around to embracing having somebody else do things that not just that I can't do or I'm afraid to do, like plumbing and electrical work, but also things that my time could be better spent doing something else. That brings me to this topic. Does anybody want to buy a lawnmower?
I've told you my grass mowing story, my lawn mowing story before. Yeah. I told it on the morning show, but I don't think you guys have heard it. So when I was like, you know, 12, 13, our yard was, we were on this kind of a side of a big hill. So the yard was plateaued. So we had a flat backyard and then a side hill that had a street going up like this way. And when you had to mow the grass, you had to tie the mower onto a rope, and then we put our baseball cleats on so we didn't go flying down the hill. And you'd let the mower go down, and you'd pull it up and down the hill, right?
Which is not dangerous at all.
It doesn't sound like
this. This is the first part of the story. And that hill began right around a bend where these cars would go really fast. So I would get down at the end of the hill, stand there and hold the lawnmower with the rope, and wait till a car would start to come and then let go. And they would come around a bend, and all of a sudden they just see this green lawnmower flying down the hill, slam on their brakes, veer the other lane, and then I just stand there and laugh and pull it back up. So anyway, this mower that I had to use took a special combination of oil and gas, and you had to mix it in one of those.
Lawn boy?
Yeah, yeah. I don't even. It was green. That's all I remember.
It was a lawn boy.
Yeah, it was all metal. It was a piece of junk, but to mix this, to make this special fuel thing, we had to mix it in one of those cans that looked like had the big funny hose that you could bend. So you do that, and then you pour it in. Well, one time I'm doing this, and I fill up the mower, and there's still like there's like 2 inches of gas left in the can, and it's middle summer, and I'm in shorts. I was wearing cut off baseball pants. Yeah,
good look.
And I don't know what happens, but the gas can slips from my hand, falls straight down and smacks flush with the cement, causing all the gas to shoot straight up and cover everything in between my legs. And I stand there and I'm like, what's going to happen? You know? And I'm just sitting there.
You're going to spontaneously combust.
And my brother, who's mowing the regular backyard, looks over and sees me and he stops and he's staring at me. We're both looking at each other. And I'm like, no, you know, nothing's happening. No harm, no foul. All right, let's get game on. So I go over and I start mowing the hill. About 10 minutes into it, all of a sudden, I feel my kidneys just start to burn. The gas had soaked in between to the skin of my junk and went into like the bloodstream and started to like burn my kidneys. I just dropped the mower, ran upstairs, was like half naked before I even got into the house and got like one leg up on the sink and cleaned everything, and then the pain went away.
I've never heard such a thing.
I doused myself in gasoline and oil and survived.
On the box.
Oh, my God.
On the cookies.
Now, there are a couple. I've been making a couple notes on my phone because I didn't want to forget some of these ideas. But one of the things when you talked about doing yard work.
Oh, yeah.
I remember once we lived in San Jose, and Paige wanted me to trim this tree. We had a little orange tree in front, kind of like your situation with the palm tree. And she went to work, and I was at home that day. And so I trimmed a little on this side, and then trimmed a little on that side, and really couldn't get it looking good. Trimmed a little. By the time she got home, it was a stump. And like I said, with the zit that you pick, and you feel like, I'm going to get that thing. And there was about a 3-inch stump out of the ground. She said, I told you to trim that tree, not chop it down. But that's sort of how I am. I get obsessed, and it's got to be perfect, and it's not. And I'm going to try it. Now I've got a vendetta against the tree.
The city came out, and we have power lines that are running down the street, down the sidewalk. And that palm tree, they grow heliotropically, they grow towards the sun. That's why they bend like that. And I guess it's starting to bend towards these, 40,000 volt lines out there. Guy comes by a year or so ago from the DWP and says, "Hey, you want I could chop that palm tree and just like stump it like 4 feet off the ground at an angle." Look at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would I want you to make a stump out of my beautiful palm tree because you think in 10 years it might reach the... No. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. So, all right, we'll trim it. And it gets up there and takes the fronds out of there. But no, I don't want a big stump in my front yard. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking of the other thing, and this is probably another podcast, but I was thinking about that prank that you pulled with the lawnmowers, different pranks that we did or that friends did. I remember a friend of mine in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, my mom's hometown. At the Newcastle Country Club, there was a hole with a blind green, so people would hit up its par three. And one of his pastimes was to go out and make hole-in-ones. And he would hide in the bushes. And a foursome would hit up, and he'd run, and he'd drop one of the balls in the cup. and the people would just be delirious, you know? I mean, if you get one hole-in-one in your lifetime, that's a... And he would have three foursomes in a row get hole-in-one. So that was his entertainment. Let's go make some hole in ones.
Imagine the conversation back at the clubhouse. Yeah. We got one.
Everybody's buying rounds. What are you talking about?
My favorite mowing story, which is my least favorite mowing story, was we were living in Davis, California. I was working in Sacramento, and it had just been a period of time where I was mowing my own yard.
Where is Davis?
Davis is just west of Sacramento.
I heard
about
it's a beautiful
20 miles.
Town.
It's actually, yeah. UC Davis is there. It's kind of a cool little enclave. It's a college town and a little eclectic. And I haven't been there in years. This was late 80s, I guess. But yeah, it was beautiful because the radio station, even though it served Sacramento, was in another little dinky town, Woodland, California. So I was actually closer to Woodland in Davis than I was to Sacramento, and they eventually moved in. But I was not making a lot of money then, and we were renting a little house in Davis. And so I was being thrifty and mowing my own yard. And it had just been a period where it had rained a lot and it was rainy season, and it was just one of those years that when it stopped raining for a couple of days, I wouldn't have a chance to mow it, but I'll mow it on the weekend. And then it would rain again. So the grass was
foot high.
So it was getting longer and longer and longer and longer. Finally, we had kind of a dried up period, and it was the weekend, and it wasn't going to get all clumped up. But I decided I'm not going to, you know, it had grown so far that it's like if you try and cut it too far down, it's really going to bog down. There's still a lot of moisture and that stuff. So I was trying, but I didn't want to have to mow again like in 2 days just because it was going to grow fast again. So I was really trying to cut it down. So I was kind of halfway through it, and it was a real slog, and I was having to stop and kind of clear the, you know, clumps of grass out of there. But I was making pretty good progress. I was about halfway through, and I don't know, we could all compare our mowing patterns. Do you go in a circle? Do you go back and forth?
Oh, do you ever do diagonally?
No, I'm not that adventurous.
Like a baseball field? Nope. Oh, we used to do that all the time.
I do square. Square and then end up right in the middle.
No.
Yeah. Turn it off.
Well, this particular day, I was mixing it up and doing the back and forth. Yeah. I started from the back, and I was just, and so it was kind of like halfway through, and then the bag filled up, which it was doing fairly quickly. And so I went up. I had this was before you had different bins for different things. It was those old metal trash cans that you put in the back alley, and the garbage guys would dump everything in one truck. So I'm emptying the grass out, and it's hot and a little muggy, and the neighbor's dog, a little German Shepherd, is out there going, hoo-hoo-hoo. And I was like, hey, puppy, how are you? And he's like, and I was like, oh, hey, doggy. And I'm all sweaty and stuff, so I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to pet the dog. And so I crouch down and go, how are you? And the dog goes, chomp, and bites my lower leg.
Oh, God.
Full in, through my jeans, into the skin, punctures the skin, and runs off. And the owner pokes his head out the door and goes, what did you do to my dog? I was like, I said hello and bent down to pet his head, and he bit me. He's like, I thought you were going to attack him. I was like, what? What was, hello, doggy. What are you doing? How is that an attack? So it hurts. I mean, I've never had a dog full on just.
I've never either, yeah.
Yeah, literally puncture the skin. It was it was bleeding. It was hurting. I'm look like I got a war wound. I'm dragging one useless leg behind me.
Have you ever mowed grass again? Never mowed.
To this day,
every time I mow
my head's
grass
on a swivel, I'm telling you that. So I'm like, and Charlotte was gone at the time. So I actually had to hop in the car. I actually went inside and I had to call and go, and I'm knocking on the neighbor's door. Has your dog had his shots? I don't know anything about these people.
You need to know if you need to have big needles in your belly.
So at this point, the guy doesn't even want to open the door. He's like, I think it's fine. You're going to be fine. He was mad at me for apparently shoving my lower leg into his dog's mouth and apparently, you know, hurting the dog's feelings. I don't know. So I'm kind of panicky because I've never had this before, and I don't know what's going on down there. So I end up going inside, looking at the Yellow Pages. This is, again, back in the day. I figure out, you know, where I need to go. I go to, like, an emergency, like an urgent care type place out on the outskirts of town. It's on a Saturday, and they're like, you know, probably not going to get rabies. And they treated the thing, and they said, have you had a tetanus shot? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't have any records there. So they said, let's go ahead and give you a tetanus shot. So I drive back home. I'm limping up. And my wife is home by then. And she's like, what happened? So I described the whole thing to her. She's furious. She's ready to go over and start, you know, raising hell next door. And it's like, well, don't let the dog attack you. But the upshot is, I really can't walk. I mean, it really hurts. And so for the next, it started raining again. So for the next 2 weeks, I've got this Escher print out front of like this, you know, I've got this weird design in my grass. It's like, it's half an inch tall here and it's 2.5 there, but it's on these kind of levels because of steps. It was like the world's worst, you know, yard art of all time. And it stayed that way for like a month because I could barely walk.
I used to do chevrons. Like, you know, in the front.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like trying to find different ways to
to mix it up.
Yeah, just to add a little excitement.
Not a lot of stuff to do in Indiana, was it?
Not a lot.
What are you so excited about today, Andy? I'm going to mow the
yard
different.
Chevrons.
Hey, everybody. Trapezoids. We're going to do it. How many power tools do you have then?
Does a power screwdriver count?
Yeah, we'll say yeah.
All right.
Wait, is it just one of the ones that's like a wand?
I have a Black & Decker electric screwdriver that I cannot find the charger for.
I'm gonna say no.
That, come on to my house. That's probably have it.
The charger?
Yeah.
A compatible charger? You have the drawer O chargers?
He's got four of them. You gotta get a chance.
Yeah,
is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Did you hear the previous part of the podcast?
I heard it. And I'm that way with, like I said, stuff that I feel like I'm over my head with. The electrical stuff, major carpentry.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm actually not joking about, I have a little project that's coming up.
Are you about to recruit us?
Maybe.
Oh, God.
Possibly. You see all this shit that's in this room that's piled up in the corner here?
Yep.
A lot of it, there are, you can't even see the ones underneath, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. There are, I don't know, 12 to 15 big plastic containers full of stuff. Things are moderately well organized, but they're just kind of, you know, piled up over in the corner. Behind the garage is a beat up old tin shed. The top of it's been bashed in by, well, I don't know what fell on it, but it's rusted and full of spiders.
Joy. Yeah. Bonus.
It's dark and just rusty bottom, and I'm sure chock full of spiders. It's like
it lives there.
Yeah,
the black one with the red belly.
Pennywise is probably in there somewhere.
Saw a red balloon. That's it's horrible. So I'm going, but it's on this 10-foot by 4-foot concrete pad that looks like it's in pretty good shape. I'm going to demolish that crappy shed and build a new one there. And I've looked everywhere for pre-made sheds. You can only find one 4x10 shed that would maximize that space, and it's another cheap metal one that it doesn't look like it would serve my needs. So I am going to demolish that one. Clean off that concrete pad. I'm going to drill holes and put in lag bolts and epoxy those to the foundation. Put in some treated lumber around the edge of it to have a foundation. I'm gonna
build.
I'm gonna frame a frame for it and build some A-frames. And I'm
gonna
build.
Can you have wood sitting directly against concrete like that?
If it's treated
wood,
yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you see patios and stuff like that where they have like 4x4s that have that metal bracket that goes into the.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why wouldn't they just treat those instead of bracket?
Well, usually you do get treated wood if it's going to touch the ground, touch water, like that. So, like the.
But I'm saying I still see a lot of that where they have that metal kind of bracket.
What? Are we done?
Anyway.
No, if it's up on...
We've forgotten our purpose here.
If it's up off the ground and has drainage, you shouldn't have to worry about
it. Because
that should be covered or painted or, you know, so I think you should be okay. There are probably licensed contractors listening to this saying, this dude's bullshit. But my point is, I'm going to build this and 3/4 of it, I'm just going to put like a regular door, you know, on the left-hand side of it and build it as a box to store all of this stuff. I'm going to make my own storage container. And then the last 1/4 of it, I'll put separate doors, and in there we'll have the rakes and the potting soil and those kinds of things.
Ooh.
Here comes my invitation.
Ah! Here it is.
This was a long preamble to try and talk us into some crap.
Josh, yeah. For you, I invite you to come and teach the others how to fish. Teach them to be fishers of men. Bring your power tools to bear on this product.
We can watch you and certainly learn, because you seem to know more about this than us.
I agree.
You know what? I don't like your tone.
I think it would be... go ahead.
Sam, bring over all 4 of your cordless screwdrivers. Let's yeah. find out which one works the best.
Yes. And do you like pasta?
Good pasta, because I'm bringing the lemonade. Yeah.
Larry.
Yes.
This is a chance for you to learn a trade. You can come over and help me. I feel like I'm Amish now. Yeah, let's raise a barn. Yeah, there, English.
I'd be down for this, because I think I'd be in the company of at least 1 or 2 people who knew what they were doing. So if you're just going to tell me, lift that thing, hold that thing there while I, you know, do the roomy thing into the dealy.
At the very
dealy.
And that's about as technical as I can get.
Well, I'm doing a totally dealies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're doing full on dealing.
It's a dealy based. Yeah. Right. It's a dealy kit.
Is that are you going to bracket those dealies? Because they can't touch them.
I think you have to harness a dealy. I'm not sure. Can you maybe a joist for a dealy? I think at the very least, we should have a day. I'll provide beer.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, okay. maybe beer and power tools is a great combination.
Well, technically, your screwdriver doesn't work, so it's not a power tool. It's just a regular pizza. Screwdriver.
Right. All right.
Some beer, pizza. I think at the very least, we should have a little work session, and we could make a little video vignette to share on your artificial friends, our Facebook page. Yeah.
You have to get one of those speed frame things going, because it'll be like 8 hours and
time lapse.
Yeah, you'll see me laying on the ground.
No. That's my role. That's my role. I will record the whole thing and interview you as you go along.
Terrific. Oh, there we go.
I will
go.
Be the audio documentarian.
Thank you. Larry, for the help.
You make that camera your tool.
Yeah.
We found something the indoor kid can do.
Yes. I'm in.
That's your artificial friends for the first foursome. I'm overjoyed to see all of us together. Yeah. We need to take a picture.
Yeah.
Let's take a picture and put it on top of...
Shall we remind everybody who we are? Because I don't think we even said.
We never even said anything on the top?
It's in the description.
I figure we're household names by now.
If you're listening to this episode, I'm sure you probably
look at our look at our group picture on the Facebook page.
What's your name and how can people reach you?
My name is Larry Morgan, and Twitter is a good one, @Larry_Morgan.
My name is Sam Farmer, and it's @LA Times Farmer on Twitter.
And I'm Josh Fligger, and you can email me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
And I'm @Andy_Chanley @Twitter.com. And do reach out on the Facebook page. We've had some comments. You know what? Next episode, maybe I should read some of the comments and feedback that we've had so far for this.
I actually had somebody, this is the second person that's reached out to me through my email, somebody from my hometown in Butler.
Save this.
Okay.
For the next episode. Yeah.
None of this happened.
No, I want to hear it, but this is almost a cliffhanger. Right.
Boy, you know how to sell it, don't you?
We'll talk to you next time on Your Artificial Friends.